welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
You may have heard of them. One of the books that's coming out right now is You're Not Who You Think You Are. And he's been profiled on the Oprah Winfrey Show, ABC World News, the Chicago Tribune, just a very renowned person. And he also started an organization called the Sedona Intensive, which is in Sedona, Arizona. So, Albert, welcome to my show.
Well, it's good to be with you.
I'm glad to have you here. I know that you are an intuitive astrologer. Is that correct?
Among other things. Yeah, among other things.
Yes. Do you want to tell us what those other things are?
Well, you know, what I really probably like to hang my hat on is that, you know, there was an old quiz show that said, give me three notes and I can name that song, and I say, give me 10 minutes. And I can pull you out of the bowels of hell, clean you up, and put you on your right path. I mean, I really, you know, I use birth charts like Carl Jung did. A lot of people don't know anything about that because there's so much prejudice, much less in the 21st century than when I was growing up. But Carl Jung wouldn't see a patient unless he had their birth chart. So with my intuition and my ability to read voice imprint and see the chart and whatever, within 10 minutes of somebody sitting in front of me, I will tell them exactly why they've come to see me.
Wow. Well, that's pretty impressive.
I was on the phone today with a woman, you know, who had one of those monotone voices, and, you know, you really had to just keep jacking up your intuition. But, boy, I'm telling you, I got her hook, line, and sinker after about 20 minutes because her energy was really kind of low, and she'll probably be out here to go through the intensive at the end of March. I'm telling you right now, you know, we're in a world that is not who and what it thought it was or said it was, and so now people wonder, well, where do I find my reality? So what I do is I take them on a journey deep within themselves. You know, banks and Wall Street and football teams and Hollywood and royalty and trailers, made up of people. And so I say, change you and change the world you touch. So, you know, if I change them one person at a time, at least I'm doing something, you know, beneficial for folks.
Dad, don't you think that this is a pretty scary time right now? I mean, some people are really hopeful and they've got big expectations for 2009, and some people are kind of frightened and withdrawing and don't know which way to go.
I'll tell you who's frightened. People who are frightened have got five credit cards and looking for a sixth. They were the people that left their trailers and tried to get into fancy mansions with that subprime. And there were people that were looking for something that was too good to be true. And you know, the limerick goes, if it's too good to be true, it isn't true. Let me tell you something. I am so jacked up about, you know, January 15th, 2009 and, you know, you're going to ask me a lot of questions, but I'll start out by telling you that I think by May, June, you will see a turnaround. Now, the gloom and doom people that are still trying to suckle on mommy's you-know-what, they're going to be people that are going to find that the milk is dry, and they're going to have to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I just want to tell listeners this, because this is really important for people that know me. You know, I like to think that I'm an ordinary person living an extraordinary life, but I was born gifted. I mean, I had a chamber of horrors when I was 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, when you see things people can't and hear what they don't, you know, that's hard. But in this time, at my age, I find we're in a glorious time because, listen, personal responsibility is on the radar screen. And I do believe that we've elected the right president and that we're at a time where we can take care of what we need to. I just paid off all my revolving credit, and it wasn't $1.98 like the beauty show. I had thousands of dollars on a couple of credit cards, And you know what my business partner said? You ought to have him on the show. He said, Albert, clean up that mess. It is time to pay off and save. And you know what? Just like I were 5 years old, and Albert, get your hand out of the cookie jar, I did exactly what he said. He's 39 years old. What does he know? And I did exactly what he said. And the bank refined my house, and they said, man, you've really paid off a lot in 8 months. I said, well, ask Scott why I did it. But you know what? I'm a monkey see, monkey do type. And if they tell me, man, it's 30 below in Milwaukee, I ain't going over there. But if they tell me, which is what I see, man, you create the world you want to touch, and you let other people touch that world, meaning the sound of my voice, the things that I say, the energy that I expend. Well, I like to lift all boats and put them back in the water. So, no, I don't think it's gloom and doom. But those are those people that have been using those schemes for a long time.
You know, it's interesting that you say May or June, because it's actually kind of been lodged in my head as a time when I expect things to turn around. So,
oh, absolutely. And listen, let me tell you something. You know what I liked about you? You know, I've got your chart right here, so if anybody that listens to you ever wanted to know about you, with your permission later, we'll just lower it. But you know what's interesting? We didn't know this till I did it, but your Mercury and mine are in the same degree in the same minute, and yours is sextiled by Saturn, which means they might think that you're adrift without a paddle, but don't ever think it. And then you and I both have Venus in Pisces. Venus is exalted there. And you were lucky to have the moon in Gemini, big mouth, and you know how to use it. You know,
wow.
Very loving. You're very loving, and you know what? If somebody wants to stomp all over your parade, you'll tell them to change blocks. This is your corner.
Well, thank you, Albert.
Isn't that true?
I've been accused of being very loving, but it's interesting because it's usually the people who get to know me who see that. So.
Yeah, but the thing that you've got to understand is, listen, you're not a dim bulb either, so you tell the boys and the girls that are trying to fan dance around you, you know, my astrology verified, I'm smarter than you think I am, I'm just nice, until they play the tune and I'm out of here. But, you know, the thing that I tell people listen, I was raised in the church, God help me, I'm glad I found booze instead of the ministry, but...
Oh, that's right. Got, you're recovered, right? You're recovered.
Yeah, I'm sober. You listen, I'll come back on to my... We'll do a birthday thing. I'm 29 years sober on the...
know how many years sober I have, Albert?
How many?
I just celebrated 23 years, September...
God, when we put ours together, we're 52 years old.
I know.
52 years sober.
I got sober in 1985 when I was 25.
Yeah, well, I'm not telling how old I was, but I got sober in 1980. But,
oh, my God,
you know,
we were so close to each other.
Yeah, where'd you get sober? What city?
In Santa Clara, California.
I got sober in Long Beach. Long Beach, California.
Oh, wow.
Man,
yeah,
they're real drunk and real recovered.
We probably went to the same things. Did you go to Duffy's? And...
Yeah, all those places.
We probably listened to, we're probably at some of the same conventions listening to some of the same speakers. It is for me the center of my life. Everything revolves around that. If I wasn't sober, I wouldn't even be here.
Yeah, but you know, the one thing that I want to say also to people that are tuned in, y'all got to remember now, it's a little bit later in Sedona. I mean, you know, at my age, I'm usually in bed reading by 8:30, but because I work all day. You know that
well,
I work
all day. Thank you for staying up for us.
No, but I'll stay up all night for you. The thing that I want to start out with tonight, though, is that I want to let people know that there have been a lot of people trying to bury us alive. I did a radio show for 1 year out of California, in Southern California. And every time I'd say something, she'd say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Well, I said, when gas hit $148 a barrel in July, I said, you know, those bloodsuckers in the Mideast and in Texas better love this. Now, I'm telling you, it's in her vault. I said, because by Christmas, it'll be $35 a barrel. You know what it was? $34 a barrel.
Wow.
From $148 to $34. Now, it's perked up a little bit, but I'll tell you, I believe that people are having a consciousness shift. And I believe that although there are those people that are still looking for, you know, Daddy Warbucks, most of us have said, okay, clean up your act and things can change because the United States of America is made up of decent people and it's not made up of people that are going to be run by the bank, stock market, or the government anymore. I can tell you that. And what they're doing, they're, you know, printing paper money to pay all those billions. But what we're going to do is we're going to take responsibility for what it is that we want. And, you know, I did a real famous show the other day, and the guy said, I won't name it. He said, oh, we don't talk about God on this program because we're in the East. And I said, listen, you didn't read my book. I said, it's like the elephant in the living room. I said, call God Mildred or Joe or it, but you can just stand on the side and watch me preach because I said, I'm not going in that church, any of them, but I will tell you that to survive and thrive like I have, there's a power greater than myself at the wheel. I can tell you that. So the guy finally says, well, okay, you've taken over the show. And I said, thank you. And I just kept going. And he later said, you know, I don't know whether they're going to get real angry about this. I was supposed to be on 20 minutes and I was on an hour. But, you know, when people have you on the radio, I mean, you're kind of kind and, you know, you didn't say, well, we'll ring a bell when you get out of hand. I think people like the way that I share because, you know, I'm really an optimist and I've heard all the gloom and doom. I did a blog today that was picked up. The New York Times did a little thing in their thing on the internet that I said something to the effect that if you want to know what's killing you, it's too much TV, too much computer, and too much internet. I said, now, if you can get that out of your system, why don't you go inside and see how your heart feels? Why don't you go out on the street and ask somebody, what can I do for you? I mean, really. And so I have a much better day when I'm just working with people who are desperate and dying and, you know, they're like we used to do, drink too much or whatever, and they're boohooing like Betty. And I tell them, listen, here's the Kleenex. Let me get us started because you've been sitting in the doo-doo in your diaper for 55 years. Let's change your diaper and let's put you on your way. And that's the way that I deal with people. I'm not doing the Course in Miracles.
I'm not, you know, an intuitive astrologer like you are, and I don't think I, you know, I definitely have had some moments where I felt like I've maybe had some psychic moments. I kind of think everybody has a little bit of that, but it sounds like you were kind of almost burdened with this when you were a kid.
You are burdened with this because, you know, when you start seeing and talking, you know, it reminds you of that movie, Sixth Sense. Well,
that's what it was like for you?
It was, yeah, it was like that. And also, I would look through people. I mean, when you, listen, I grew up right after World War II, and nobody had much money, not even the rich people. And I'll tell you, I said to my mother when I was 6 years old, and my mother was a beauty, a killer, but a beauty, and my father was a handsome professional baseball player. And I said, Mommy, why do you seem more like the daddy and daddy more like the mother? Well, I go to college, and I found out I was seeing, as Carl Jung would say, their shadow, the male within my mother and the female within my father. You know, that's a heavy load when you're in the South, and they want you to say, Jesus loves me, this I know. And, you know, today I say, well, he may or may not love me because I may not be lovable. But, you know, there are people, BP brain that get wrapped around dogma from the church or politics or whatever, you know, a football team, a baseball team, and I say, get out of the jungle and get into a clearing. Yeah, listen, you and I, having gotten sober, as God is my witness, we're in a better place for having been where we were before we got sober, because that helped me tear up the world that was not me. And now I live. I was on TV the other day, and the woman said, "I know him really well, ladies and gentlemen, and he really is who he says he is." Now, that's a high praise. I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
And I am who I say I am.
Well, you know, I have to say that whole thing about the recovery thing, you know, for me, it's like I just would not be anywhere if it wasn't for, you know, being able to turn my life and my will over. But that's a hard thing for some people to swallow, and
it's a hard thing, but let me tell you something. I tell people, I'll go drink another year, whatever, because I'm telling you, I was 41 years old, and I walked in, and it looked like a crazy soap opera. There was a guy with roller skates. He had a cardboard box on his back.
Well, you were in Los Angeles.
No, I was in Long Beach.
Yeah, well.
I was in Long Beach. But a guy with the skates and a lady with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth with the Veronica-like hair over her eyes. And, you know, the Navy was there. And I thought, what in the hell is this? This is fun. So they said, you know what? You just don't drink no matter what. I went through an arch. It talks about walking through the archway. And when I went in, I said I can have a drink, an hour and a half. When I walked out, the obsession to drink left me. And for those people who know me, the obsession left me, but the stinking thinking and the meanness and the bad boy behavior was there to clean up. But the obsession to drink left me. Now, I call that by the grace of God.
Oh, you know what? I'm one of those few people who had a spiritual awakening, too. And it was on the morning of September 4th, 1985, and I hadn't prayed for, a long time. I woke up that morning and got on my knees, and I couldn't even understand who I was and why I was doing this, and I never looked back from that day. It has been, you know, a completely different channel. And you know how they always say you're going to get restored to sanity?
Mm-hmm.
My retort to that is always, honey, I wasn't ever sane before I got sober. So this is all brand new to me. There was no restoring involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can quite agree with it. But let me say this, because it kind of, you know, filters into the book that I've written. You know, people are really not who they think they are even when they're born, because the prejudicial nature of your parents, you know, church or no church, country club or church, you know, I say poor people go to church and rich people go to country club. But
yes,
the truth of the matter is, it's a very prejudicial situation that we are born into. And I can tell you right now, as God is my witness, there's not one thing left in my neighborhood that I want to visit. If they want to put up a monument to the one that got away, send me a good picture, because I really love where I live. I love the work that I do. You know, in 3 weeks, I'm going to Egypt with 12 people. It's my 11th trip, because I think Egypt is a crossroads from one world to the next. And I get restored. You know, the people that go for Botox, they go for B12 shots, I go to Egypt. Nothing will restore me. I mean, it's almost like the portrait is aging in the closet like Dorian Gray, but Egypt really restores me. And
wow.
I tell you, I want to be exactly where I am, and I do not want to be anybody else. Did you know that when I moved to Los Angeles when I was, I don't know, about 32, and I used to say, and I say this a lot when I do television, because people say, "Oh, you're so funny, are you a stand-up comic?" And I said, "I wish." I said, "They've got more money than I ever will have." But I said, I thought if I could get to the right party, you know, and never gain an ounce, and drink just the right amount of liquor, and
in
drive the right
world,
car. I mean, that's really what I thought at that time. And you know what? At my age, on this date, January 15th, 2009, I want to be no one but me. No one.
Right on. Right on. I'm going to check in with our listeners here for a minute and just remind people we have got the famous Albert Golden. He is here to read your astrology. Call us up and he'll give you a reading for 2009. Our toll-free number is 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. 888-228-4494. And if you are in the 415, you can also try 415-287-3601. That's 415-287-3601. Call us up, and I think Albert may have a special message for you and the new year.
And,
anyway,
you know, until one of them calls, you gave me the exact time of day you were born. Did you know that you're progress moon in 3 weeks, probably while I'm in Egypt. Your progress moon is going from Pisces to Aries. Now, everybody, where you work and where you live, get ready. Because when your moon goes into Aries, you are going to develop the Moses complex, meaning I'll lead, I will not follow. You will want this outreach that you have in radio to be bigger, stronger, better. And if you've ever wanted to do anything but you thought, I don't know whether I can or whatever, just start tap dancing and they'll pick you for the review, because you definitely are going to absolutely shine in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And then in about 8 or 9 months, your progress sun is going to go from Taurus into Gemini. And I'm telling you right now, when your sun goes into Gemini, keep talking, as Joan Rivers says, because you really are headed for the best times of your life.
Ah, well, that's great news.
And you better watch your love life, because Uranus is going to conjunct your Venus probably in April. So, you know, you just might find yourself on the good ship Lollipop.
A new love? Or?
A new love in your life.
A new love in April, huh? Just in time for my birthday.
I know, but it's just amazing. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, April 1st. Well, I'm sure you had all the jokes on that one, but you know the jokes on everybody else. I mean, you've just lived long enough to have a payday someday, and it's coming this year.
Albert, I couldn't be more excited. I've had, you know, some pretty good feelings about this year. It feels like a lot of things are starting to just come together,
The one thing, though, that you have going for you, I mean, you got a lot of things, but the one thing that's...